This podcast is brought to you by Infosys, the global digital services and consulting partner of choice for the world's most powerful businesses. We amplify human potential and create the next opportunity for people, businesses, and communities.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, March 22nd. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Europe's approach to tech regulation has been vastly different from that of the US. And as more emerging technologies like artificial intelligence and the metaverse become mainstream, how are regulators in Europe thinking about, well, regulating that?
We need to protect the concentration of data of all that different types of data in the hands of a few companies.
We'll hear more about that approach from Spain's Secretary of State for Digitization and Artificial Intelligence. That's after these headlines. More than two dozen state government websites contain tracking code made by the parent company of TikTok, ByteDance. The review by a company in Toronto, Farouk Security, illustrates how hard it can be for U.S. regulators as they try to halt data collection efforts by the Chinese-owned app. Despite many organizations banning TikTok from company devices, that doesn't make them safe from data collection. Here's reporter Byron Tao on how ByteDance tracking code works.
Governments or corporations have sometimes told people that they're not allowed to install the app on a government or a corporate phone. This is something different. This is a piece of tracking code that's placed on a website like WSJ.com. And that would allow the Wall Street Journal to measure who's visiting our website who also has a TikTok account. But that data also gets passed back to TikTok. It's basically a way to measure visitation and advertising and create sort of a detailed profile of someone as they move around the web.
Though U.S. regulators have identified the dangers of Chinese data collection, Byron says preventing it is not an easy task.
It's not clear that every state or organization that's been tackling the TikTok threat recognizes just how deeply these technologies are embedded in all sorts of things. Advertising is the way that a lot of things get paid for on the web, and it's a billion-dollar business. It's a multi-billion-dollar business, in fact. And so unwinding the entire ecosystem of online advertising and tracking, which includes TikTok, is a very difficult project and one that organizations are finding is quite complicated.
Meanwhile, advertisers on TikTok are making contingency plans in case the popular video sharing app gets banned in the country. The Biden administration has raised national security concerns about TikTok and has demanded its Chinese owners sell their stakes. According to people familiar with the situation, TikTok has been trying to reassure advertisers in recent days that the app is unlikely to be banned in order to keep brands from cutting their ad spending. In a statement, a TikTok representative said talks with marketers and agencies are ongoing and that a change in ownership would not impose new restrictions on data flows or access. Google is opening public access to its conversational computer program Bard, the company's answer to viral chatbot ChatGPT. But you won't find Bard on your Google search engine quite yet. That's because of AI chatbot's tendency to hallucinate. Our reporter Miles Krupa explains.
The types of AI models that these things are based on sometimes have the tendency to make up information or get facts wrong. So that's a problem everybody is trying to work out. And I think that makes Google cautious also about integrating it into its search engine, which is super lucrative. It's the biggest source of revenue for its parent company. So it's treading lightly in the early days.
For now, Bard is only available on its own dedicated site where users are prompted to join a waitlist to gain access. And staying on Google, the company has suspended Chinese e-commerce app Pinduoduo from its app store Google Play over security concerns. Versions of Pinduoduo not carried in Google Play were found to contain malware. A Google spokesperson said Tuesday the company is conducting an investigation. Google Play isn't available to users in China, but Android users there can download apps from app stores run by Chinese tech companies like Tencent and Baidu. A Pinduoduo spokesman said its parent, PDD Holdings, is communicating with Google for more information after hearing that the current version of its app isn't compliant with its policies. All right, coming up, as more emerging technologies like ChatGPT and other AI tools grow in popularity with consumers, how is Europe thinking about regulating them? We'll have more on that after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Infosys, the global digital services and consulting partner of choice for the world's most powerful businesses.
It seems like every day we're hearing about a new use case for artificial intelligence, from writing cover letters to coding. And as AI and other emerging technologies continue to hit the market, top of mind for many European officials is regulation. At this year's MWC, the mobile tech show formerly known as Mobile World Congress, the Wall Street Journal senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern sat down with Carmen Artigas, Spain's Secretary of State for Digitization and Artificial Intelligence. They talked about the EU's approach to AI, the metaverse, and privacy regulations. Here are highlights from their conversation.
Thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine.
So, AI is a big topic right now of any industry, really. ChatGPT has taken the consumer world right now by storm in the sense that people are interacting with computers in a different way. When you think about AI, and you have a big background in big data, are you shocked this has sort of come along so quickly? And are you thinking a lot about the implications for consumers and your citizens?
Absolutely. I think AI, together with quantum computing or new technologies, are key disruptive technologies. All the area of deep tech has important focus on also the public investment of the government of Spain. So in Spain, we are leading, I would say, development of AI in three important areas. One, sustainable and fair AI, and we are leading the sandbox of the future European regulation on artificial intelligence. We are leading all the work with the industry to trying to prevent that the AI is developed with biases. We also have developed the Charter of Digital Rights, in which we put special rights on AI, like the right not to be discriminated by an algorithm or the right to have a second human opinion. We are also very interested in a national plan we have launched called the National Plan for Green Algorithms. ChatGPT is an example of how AI is developed, but with a high consumption on energy, which is not sustainable in the long term, the same way like Web3 is not sustainable today. So we want to develop green AI by design, not worried at the end of the value chain that the data centers are fed with renewable energy. We want to find better ways to develop artificial intelligence, which is sustainable. And in particular in Spain, we want to have the leadership on AI developed in the Spanish language. All the artificial intelligence is developed in English or in Chinese. In fact, you've made the same prompt in English in ChatGPT, and then they make the same prompt in Spanish, it gives you different answers. So there's an important gap. We have 600 million Spanish speakers in the world, and Spain is determined to lead the development of AI solutions and, of course, language models in Spanish.
The EU has been at the forefront of so much of consumer privacy, GDPR, et cetera. Are there updates that you think need to be made there with this quick coming of AI and consumer use of AI?
Of course, Europe has a very important set of regulation that is in place now, the Digital Services Act, the Digital Market Act. They're trying to limit the excessive power of the current digital platforms on data users. We have sometimes have the dichotomy between data protection and data reusability. That is not that anymore. We can reuse data, but with privacy and control. We need also to define the way we interact with data with third countries with trust, called free data flows with trust, and that's important international agreement on that. And now we're going to lead the development of the European regulation on artificial intelligence. We put some limits, for example, for, facial recognition in open spaces. Another example is newer technologies where Spain is very concerned about. Part of the Charter of Digital Rights focus on non-invasive neurotechnologies, the right not to be augmented by a chip or by a neurotechnology device, the right to protect the free will. So there are a lot of important topics that if we cannot solve before technology is broadly adopted. An example is metaverse. We should regulate metaverse before it becomes mainstream, because otherwise it will happen like with climate change. There are some harm that we will not be able to revert back.
Yeah.
And that's our main concern.
While we're on the metaverse, I'm going to ask you to end the sentence for me. The metaverse is, you have to fill in the blank.
The metaverse is the convergence of several technologies like 5G, virtual reality, augmented reality, to create immersive experiences that are very good in the future in terms of, for example, new opportunities for education, opportunities that can be help sustainability like the digital twins, but also poses serious risks. And we need to protect the concentration of data of all that different types of data in the hands of a few companies. And for me, metaverse has always needs to have a foot on the physical world, a foot on the ground.
I'm just very fascinated in hearing this term now, digital twins, and what this future of us each digitally being recreated means for both regulation, but also as you're thinking about it for the future.
Digital twin now is applied in industry. So you have here an engine, you have a nuclear plant. You don't need to test everything physically. Even you have a prototype, you have a digital reproduction of the existing physical device that is synchronized with sensors. So if there is a problem on maintenance, you can test it on the device, and then you put it in the real engine. But there is also digital twins of human being. We are starting in Europe developing the first digital twin of the heart, digital twin of skin. And for example, that would be as good as if I'm trying to test a procedure or a cancer treatment, which is innovative. I can test it before in the twin and before applying to me. If I want to give up smoking, I don't smoke, but imagine I should give up smoking or a diet. I can test my diet on the digital twin, several strategies, and then the one that works is the one they apply for me. So there are a lot of interesting things. Another important digital twin is the digital twin of the world in terms of climate prevention. And there is also important initiatives at European level to have a digital twin of the earth.
You mentioned facial recognition. How do you think that can be used responsibly? And I know that the EU is looking at a ban on that. Where do you fall on that? And you've mentioned a couple of times here the responsibility and being able to get ahead of it. What are you doing there?
You know that precisely this is one of the hot topics on the future European regulation on AI that now is being discussed in the trilogues are once you have the position of the Commission, then you have the Council, then you have the Parliament. So they need to come to an agreement. The position of the Commission is to ban facial recognition in public open spaces. So if I'm going to a demonstration for Black Lives Matter, the government doesn't need to know that I was there. That has happened in the US. It's happening in China. In Europe, we have a different approach. We think that data is not in the hands of the companies, not in the hands of the government. It must be under control of citizens.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Karma. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joanna. Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But a quick reminder before we go. We want to hear your questions about generative artificial intelligence for an upcoming episode. Do you have questions about AI programs like ChatGPT, Microsoft's new Bing search, or Midjourney? Email us a voice recording to tnb@wsj.com or leave us a voicemail on 415-439-6482. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for listening.
When inflation is up or stocks are down, knowing how it'll affect you can mean extra cash in your pocket. The Wall Street Journal's Your Money Briefing podcast breaks down complex financial issues so you can make smart decisions. From the basics of spending and saving,
you're planning for your financial future,
to the ins and outs of stock trading.
Higher interest rates make future earnings less valuable, and
to the bleeding edge of crypto.
You could get the greatest returns on the planet. You could get wiped out.
Bring your personal finances into focus with Your Money Briefing.